From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 103, Rob Parker.
Welcome into the Inside the Parker podcast. Rob Parker here. You there. What a show we have lined up for you. Two-time National League MVP Dale Murphy is on the program. Also, former second baseman and outfielder and current Oakland A's TV analyst Bip Roberts, he also drops by. That and much more is coming up. Let's go.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball.
Number one.
No way, no how should Major League Baseball even consider this horrendous experiment by the Atlantic League, you know, the independent minor league. It has robot umpires. This is what they're trying. They've installed radar-enabled strike zone technology in its ballpark this month, and they're having the balls and strikes called by an umpire upstairs in the press box, and he has like a device in his ear, and the umpire behind the home plate doesn't make the call. The call is made from upstairs, and he relays what the call is. What are we talking about? Where are we? Life is about human beings. The players are real. The umpire should be real. The game's been around for 150 years. People make mistakes. There are bad calls. There are good calls. We do not need robot umpires. Baseball, stop it. There's nothing wrong with the game. Get better umpires. When umpires don't do a good job, fire them. That's what you should be worried about. Let human beings do these jobs and stop with the electronic umpires.
Number two.
The baseball trade deadline is looming. July 31st, and it's a hard deadline, unlike the past. This will be the only time a team can improve itself as we move forward to the second half of the season and the postseason. There are no waiver wire deals or anything else. Those have all been done with. They've all been done away with. So here we go. This is the most significant thing about this and why you should expect to see a lot of trades coming up. Because the last nine World Series winners, you know what they all have in common? They all made an important trade at the deadline. And they added pieces and pieces parts that they needed. That's including the 2018 Red Sox, the 17 Astros, and the 16 Cubs. Sometimes you just have to go out and get what you need to put you over the hump. So I get it. You remember when the Astros went out and got Justin Verlander from the Tigers? They wouldn't have won that World Series without Justin Verlander. No doubt about it. How about when the Cubs picked up Aroldis Chapman from the Yankees? They don't get that World Series either without Chapman. So this year, the two teams I think need to make key trades in order to reach the World Series. The Dodgers need somebody in the bullpen because their bullpen is the weak link. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. If they don't fix that bullpen, they will not, N-O-T, make it to the World Series for a third year in a row, and they won't win it. And the New York Yankees. The Yankees need a starter. They have to add a starter. They've done a great job. They've done everything they needed to do, but they need another starter for that rotation. If those two teams go out and get what their needs are, they have a chance to make a long run in the playoffs.
Number three.
Don't look now, but Yasiel Puig is the hottest player in baseball. The Cincinnati Reds are rejuvenated and end the NL Central race, and a lot has to do with Puig, who embraced being traded away from the Dodgers and embrace playing in Cincinnati, a great baseball town, And in the last month or so, he has been on fire, playing as well as anybody, hitting, as of Tuesday, that is, .372, hitting the ball all over the park. It includes 11 home runs, some absolutely moonshots. So he has been tremendous. The most recent big night for him came Monday night when Puig went deep in the Reds 6-3 win over the Cubs. And yes, people in Cincinnati are loving this colorful and amazing and electrifying ball player. Yes, Yasiel Puig lives on in Cincinnati in the Midwest. He's that kind of player. Cincinnati's lucky to have him, and he's lucky to be playing in such a great baseball town.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
Let's welcome to the podcast former Major League outfielder, two-time National League MVP, seven-time All-Star. Yes, his name is Dale Murphy. Dale, thanks for joining the program.
Thank you, Rob. Thanks for having me on.
No doubt. Tell me, Dale, the Atlanta Braves, I just want to jump right in, have been a great story the last couple of years. How much do you follow them? How much do you like that young team? And tell me, do they have something brewing down there?
Yeah, they do have something brewing. I check every day what they're doing and try to check now that you can see games, on your phone, and you don't have much excuse to at least see what happened. So I check in what happened. If I didn't see the game, check the highlights, and I love what they're doing. And I think they're going to get stronger here before the trade deadline. They have predicted that this group was coming online, and they're exactly right. Acuña's fantastic. Ozzy Albies at second is fantastic. Dansby Swanson has improved his offense. The signing of Josh Donaldson was tremendous. And Freddie Freeman at first. First, I'll mention the infield. The infield's going to break all kinds of records this year as far as a power-hitting infield for the Atlanta Braves. And then they added Brian McCann, which is more than his statistics, which I think is, a great thing about great players. He's just such a solid catcher, and an experienced catcher is helping this young pitching staff along. And we haven't even got to the pitching staff yet. There's just some really solid, good young pitchers. I was just going to say,
Dale, and give the Braves credit. They went out and got Dallas Keuchel.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of good things happening that I haven't mentioned. You're right, Dallas Keuchel. And they made a great decision organizationally a couple of years ago to give Brian Snitker a chance. He's kind of a Bobby Cox, out of that mold, loves his players, good to play for, and they're just solid, Rob. They really are. And, the Phillies, kind of not doing great. Washington's come on a little bit, but I feel really comfortable about where this Braves team is.
No doubt about it. I think they are having what a good year. We saw Freddie Freeman with an unbelievable, sizzling hot month of June. He broke all kinds of records for the Braves. That guy's a star.
No question about it. And I remember, a million years ago when we had the few good years when I played with the Braves. We got really good when we got Chris Chambliss from the Yankees as our first baseman. First baseman really solidify and cover up a lot of things. And Freddie's one of the best defensive players, on a hit ball. But, and I don't know the numbers of errors he saved for the infielders. And, add to that, he hits third and is a great hitter. So, first baseman, I tried it one year. You can't hide over there.
No, you can't. That ball will find you.
That's right, especially at first base. It is nothing to mess around with, obviously, but I think sometimes people think, you can just go to first. It doesn't work that way. He's just an all-around superstar and should be in MVP talk, no question about it.
Let's talk about your career because it was tremendous. Obviously, I mentioned earlier you won back-to-back National League MVPs with that 82 and 83, and that's not easy to do. You hit 398 career home runs. That was when cable was starting and TBS was a super station, right? And the Braves were on around the country. You guys became America's team because everybody could watch you. What was that like? I know you guys never really got to where you wanted to go or to win a World Series, but tell me about how much you enjoyed playing in Atlanta and your career.
Well, you're right, Rob. I travel the country now, and I run into fans, Atlanta Braves fans, that were that started back in the 80s with Ted Turner and putting us on TBS every night around the, well, around the world, but obviously around the country. And I think it's a great lesson to learn that baseball is always better with more exposure. And we can see baseball on a lot of different devices now. And I just think, the more exposure, the better. And I think TBS and what Ted Turner did is just a great example. We have a generation of Atlanta Braves fans that have passed it down to their kids because they saw baseball every night. And it's just been a great thing to travel the country and meet fans. I spoke in Fargo, North Dakota a couple years ago, whole bunch of Braves fans, literally all over the country. And especially in the towns, which are not close to major league teams, obviously, but even some people who didn't like their local team came on the Braves train. So it was a great experience. It was really unique and something that still lives on, Rob. It really does.
No doubt. You didn't get into the Hall of Fame. There was always a debate about you. Where were you? Are you? Obviously, you would love to be in and be immortalized, and it's not a lot of guys, as I said, who've won two MVPs and put up almost 400 home runs. Have you accepted it? Or you still think that you belong and probably been overlooked because your team didn't win as much?
I think there's a couple things going on, and I'm good with where we're at. First of all, I got to thank the Hall of Fame. They've changed the voting a little bit that have given the guys in the 70s and 80s and early 90s more looks. Alan Trammell and Jack Morris is an example.
Right. They both got in after not being voted in by the writers, right?
Right. So I got some other opportunities. But I think you make a good point as far as exposure. I think one of the good things about being in postseason, not only a chance to win a World Series, but you get more exposure, just better exposure. I was really only in the postseason for three games. We got swept by the Cardinals, so I think that would have helped. And so, no, I knew if it did happen, if it does happen, it was going to take a while. So, I have some other opportunities, and we'll see what happens.
All right, his name is Dale Murphy, two-time National League MVP. Don't forget his restaurant. I'm going down to SunTrust Park in August. I'm going to check out your restaurant, Murph. It's called Murph's, right near the ballpark.
Absolutely, Rob. Look, I think we've got to be the only restaurant in Atlanta that has fried cheese curds and fried okra. So check it out.
All right, we'll do that. Thank you so much for joining the podcast.
Thanks, Rob.
It's time for the Pocket Protector Centro. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
FS1's Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. What you got for us today, Anthony?
We can track so many things in today's game, most that highlight great hitters and hurlers. But identifying great defenders has still come back to the eye test more often than not. But that may be starting to change. Just like we've talked about expected batting average on the pod, the reverse of that is catch probability. Catch probability is the likelihood a batted ball to the outfield will be turned into an out based on four pieces of info. How far did the fielder have to run? How much time did he have to get there? What direction did he need to go? And how close was he to the wall? Measured in percentages, the more time a fielder has to react to the ball and the less distance needed to reach it, the higher the catch probability. Now, another element to this is that catches are given stars by degree of difficulty. A one-star catch has a catch probability of 95% or higher, while a five-star catch is any play made with a catch probability of 0 to 25%. Now, only three players this season have made at least three catches that can be considered five-star. Two of them are speedy center fielders in Byron Buxton and the Cardinals' Harrison Bader. The other? Well, that would be the Dodgers' Cody Bellinger, who's also hitting 340 and leading the league in home runs. Starting grading that MVP trophy for Bellinger already right now.
Thanks, Tony, for all that knowledge.
And what that ball is.
It was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up? Who's up?
I don't believe it! My, oh my!
Is it foul or is it fair? And now, here's ShadowLeague.com MLB insider, J.R. Gamble.
All right, J.R., let's get going. The Mets, who made bold trades in the offseason, started Tuesday 15 games out in the NL East. Is it foul or fair for them to give up the season and trade their assets at the trade deadline?
Oh, man, that's foul.
That is a foul ball.
By assets, you mean one of their prime pitchers? Well, Wheeler's on the injured list and already have Tommy John, and Mass is shaky. What is anybody going to get from them? I seriously doubt that the Mets will trade Syndergaard, but that's possible. The bold trades haven't panned out. Cano's deteriorating and Diaz is struggling. The Mets need to, one, hire Bo Porter as manager and get some support for Brody Van Wagner when it comes to evaluating talent and spending money on free agents. The Mets have solid building blocks in McNeil and Alfonso, and Syndergaard and DeGrom gives you something to build on. Clearing house, trading assets, nah, that's not the move. You can go to worst to first quickly in baseball. The guys at the top have to go first. No need to panic, though.
Fasten your seatbelt.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Here comes Parker's top three MLB teams this week.
Number three.
The Twins. Yes, I know people think that the Twins are going to fall off the face of the earth in the second half, but they didn't do it. Not yet, at least. And I don't think they will. They had a statement win against the Tribe in Cleveland, right? There was a chance that the Twins, had they been swept in that series, could have seen their once double-digit lead in the Central and the American League shrink down to less than three games. And instead, they won the first couple of games in the series and left town with a bigger lead than they arrived. The Minnesota Twins are for real.
Number two.
The New York freaking Yankees. I've been telling you all year. And I know Monday night was a horrendous loss to Tampa Bay. You can't give up a three-run jack in the ninth inning and lose a game like that in the Bronx. But let's just be honest. Given all that the Yankees have been through coming into Tuesday night, they just had one less win than the Dodgers. And the Dodgers have been unbelievable all year long, pounding the baseball. So the Yankees are strong. Eventually, they're going to have their team in full at full strength, and they will be a force in baseball like they have been with spare parts. The Yankees are the second-best team in baseball.
Number one.
The Los Angeles Dodgers. It's hard to not look at this team and not think they're the best team in baseball because they take their hitting shoes on the road. They pounded the Phillies on the road. They also won an important nighttime game, Sunday Night Baseball, in Boston after dropping the first couple of games. So they put together back-to-back impressive wins. They have the best record in baseball as of Tuesday. The only one concern is the bullpen, and that is a real concern that will have to be addressed at the trading deadline. But right now, right here, the Los Angeles Dodgers are the best team in baseball.
Take out the paper, then the trash.
It's time for Trash Talk Twitter. Your chance to trash anyone or anything in Major League Baseball.
This week's winner is at JohnQuinn83, and he's trashing Philadelphia. He tweets, "The Phillies were emasculated Monday night by the visiting Dodgers. In the top of the ninth, two outs, the batter struck out, and the Phillies didn't even start moving off the field, not realizing it was the third out. And earlier in the game, the Dodgers catcher stole home on a double steal." If you want to win a new era cap, a snapback that is, make sure you hit me up on Twitter at Rob Parker FS1.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto: if I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
Let's welcome into the podcast Bip Roberts, former Major League second baseman left fielder. Bip, thanks for joining the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rob. I didn't know, man, you do everything, don't you?
You know I do, man. I'm a hustler. Come on, man. How long you know me now?
That's right. That's how we do it, man. That's how we do it.
No doubt about it. Bip Roberts played 13 years in the big leagues, .294 batting average. And, Bip, now you're into television. You're working for NBC Universal. You do the pre- and post-game analysis work for the Oakland A's. And, you know, I got to cover you in Cincinnati when you played there. You were always glib and, you know, answered the questions and all that. How is it to be on the other side now doing television and, you know, talking to the players and stuff that you do?
I tell you what, Rob, it keeps me close to the game. And then I get a chance to learn who all the new players are. So even though I've retired, still been around the game for a long time. So I think it's been one of those things where now that I don't have to play, I think I'm enjoying it a lot more, you know, and I look forward to it each and every day. And it's just been one of those things that's evolved into something that has become a second career. And now that I'm on this side of it, you know, I try to be fair, but I tried to explain exactly what's happening out there. So whereas it used to be I was a player and I had to hear what people said, now I'm the guy that they have to hear saying what I think about a certain player. So it's just been one of those learning experiences where you know what to say and what not to say. So, and all in all, it's been fun. It's been a second career, and I've just been blessed.
See, now you appreciate when I was the beat writer for the Cincinnati Inquirer, what I had to go through. Am I right? It ain't that easy.
People think,
oh, these writers and these guys are hacks and they're just ripping on us. And it is definitely a tough spot, but it is fun. Like I say, did you ever imagine being a broadcaster?
I did not. You know, my last year playing ball, talking with Greg Popper, one of our big guys out here, you know, and asking him, hey, how did you get into this industry and what made you go into this industry? And I was just thinking of things, what would I do if baseball ended today? And, you know, I still wanted to be around the game in some capacity without having a coach or living an everyday life, because everyday life in baseball is tough, man.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, just him talking to me and explaining how he got into it and what it all entailed. I said, hey, you know, there's something I could do. I love the game, and I'd love to talk the game and just teach the game along with talking the game.
How do you love this, or do you love this new baseball, which is, because you used to steal bases, I think you had 264 lifetime, but basically it's all about home runs and strikeouts. It's a totally different game. Not the same hit and run. They're not guys on the base pass, all the shifting, which takes a lot of hits away. Do you like it?
Yeah. It's just so different to me. I see balls here, and I go, that's a base hit. Oh, guys, stand, what are you doing right behind second base, you know? And then there's a ball hit the right field, and wait, there's a guy standing in right center field. What kind of baseball is this?
Right.
You know? I just look at it like this sometimes, Rob, and I have fun with it. I go, I wonder if they could do that against in our generation. There's no way we would pick that apart, and you'd have guys hitting 350. So it's a different time. I understand it. You know, seems like the ball right now is a little different than it used to be.
You ain't just say it, Bip. It's juiced, right? It's juiced.
Man, have you felt one of those balls?
I mean,
have you put one of those where you put it in your fingertips and go, wait a minute, this doesn't feel like the normal baseball.
Wow.
And the seams just don't feel the same. I cannot really, like, pitchers could stick their fingernails in the seams and raise them. You can't do that. And when the sound and the ball, when it hits the bat, when it comes off the bat, I don't know if you play golf, but when the driver hits the golf ball solid, how it takes off, there's no drag to the baseball, to the golf ball. That's what it seems like when the baseball hit now. Like, there's no drag. And, like, if it's hit really good, it might just go out the stadium.
Wow. Tell me about, you cover the A's, obviously. Tell me about them. They made the playoffs a year ago. They're in the hunt again, and playing well. What's going right for the Oakland A's this year?
The timing. It's always around this time of year where they all of a sudden start to play well and consistently play well and beat teams that they should beat and compete against those teams that they have to compete against. And it's just a calendar. It's that way every year around here. They could get, close to 500 around the break. And then all of a sudden before the break, they get hot. And then it carries over. It's almost like we used to say back in the day, what you've done is what you're going to do the second half. And this is what they do. They carry it over to the second half, and they play consistent baseball. They have players who, but maybe nationally are not known, but these are some really good players, man. They could play some baseball. So they're on one of those streaks now where consistently they're going to play well for a month at a time. And now it's a matter of, who's in front of them, how consistent they are to keep them off.
Will they make the playoffs? Yes or no? The Rangers are in the mix. Of course, the Astros and the Angels are also in the mix, but not as much as the Rangers. Will the A's make the playoffs? Yes or no?
It's going to be a dogfight, Rob, but I'm going to go with my boys over here in Oakland.
All right, I appreciate it. His name is Bip Roberts, and yes, former Major League second baseman, outfielder, and a broadcaster for NBC Universal up there in Oakland. Bip, always a pleasure. Thank you, my man.
All right, man. Thanks for having me, man. And good luck in everything that you do.
Appreciate it.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out. Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA. And it isn't even close.
Here's reason 1,000 why Major League Baseball is better than the NBA and better than the NFL. I was at Yankee Stadium on Sunday with my buddies, and of course the seventh inning stretch came around, and no other sport has a song in any point of the game like baseball does, where everybody gets up, everybody's a part of it, and everybody sings Take Me Out to the Ball Game. No other sport has that. It is the biggest and greatest bonding you can do with buddies, with friends, with family, with kids. It's awesome. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. Everybody knows the words. Everybody gets up. Everybody joins in. It's a fun time at the ballpark. Could you imagine doing that at an NFL game or NBA game? No, you can't. And I know me and my buddies aren't good singers, but here we are. Mike, Walt, Mikey, and myself singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. I don't know about you, but I got goosebumps. That's sports. In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.